So the first thing I'd like to do here is to go back to the FRC's definition of recovery. So you might be noticing that in the video beforehand I talked about this idea of us giving up and stepping away from trying to make up that we know what recovery means for somebody else. Now, that does not mean that we can't explore for ourselves what recovery means, and certainly want to have some kind of orientation about what are the, if you like, objectives of an overall process of change which can be called recovery. So sticking with this idea of there is, if you like, the current position that a person is in, the current state they're in, and then them wishing to move to another experience of their life. Now, the current experience of their life will be focused most likely around, and I would imagine, in fact, around this idea of recovery from a healthcare challenge, or moving away from the negative experience or the suffering experience of a healthcare challenge, or finding a way to integrate and accept a healthcare challenge in order to continue the process of living. Now, you may notice that I'm using a number of different ways to come at this, and what I'm hoping to do is to keep very open this idea of how we approach this issue of recovery, and using this word recovery, at the same time as holding our own internal space and experience about what we think we're talking about when we use the word, and also what we are able to encompass or let in when other people express their own ideas of the process they're in that they may or may not call recovery. It can be complex, so we want to simultaneously try and keep it simple. That's why we developed this definition of recovery. And if you look at the attached PDF, you will see there are a number of slides or pages there which you can look at. And I just want to refresh us on this. This definition was in the Essentials module. You probably remember it. But we want to look at it now through a lens of people who are looking to engage, initiate, and start a change process that they may or may not use the word recovery to describe. We are going to use the word recovery just because it's easier for us to have an anchor word to do that. So the definition of recovery is described as an ongoing process. So this means it's an ongoing process. It's not a finite process. It's not a process that needs to have a defined end in order to be engaged with. Ongoing process by which a person restores a positive, meaningful life. Linking back here to the meaning-centered coaching model and its principle that meaning is the engine room. Now, in the recovery, early stages of the recovery, or the early stages of this ongoing process of change, positivity and meaningfulness may be obscured, and they may not be very clear, and might be overlaid by anxiety, panic, fear, and other kinds of issues, mostly emotional. So the ongoing process restores positivity and meaningfulness, but the presence of it at the early stage of recovery may or may not be easy to identify, or for your clients to identify. So a person restores a positive, meaningful life and way of living. So the way of living is really to connect the idea that their behavior is linked to positivity and meaning. So if we were to say a person restores a positive, meaningful life, but it didn't have, if you like, the the methodology or the way of living that supported the ongoing connection or development of that positivity and meaningfulness, then there might be something that would be incongruent or mismatched about that. And we want to just be aware that there is this kind of lifestyle piece, way of living, which is connected to meaning and positivity. Now, this ongoing process includes specifically a clear sense of self and a sense of belonging to community. So let's just talk about the self in terms of what we might mean here. Again, the idea that we have a self, that we have an I, that we have an identity, is pretty much a phenomenon of everybody. There is, of course, a lot of philosophical debate, discourse, theory, experience, and ideas around what is the self, how is the self identified, can we point to a source for the self, can we point to a place where the self can be readily seen and changed. These are very important and philosophical questions, and we don't want to prescribe how that process of discovery will take place for people or what the outcome will be. But in this definition, we are saying that a sense of the self that I am, the sense of my persona, my identity, will emerge or is a necessary part of this change process. Now, as a philosophical perspective, of course, there may be an idea or a willingness or an interest that people have to transcend the self, to, if you like, step away from an I-centered life, and so on. And there really is no incompatibility of that for us in terms of this definition or working with people. Almost certainly, everyone that you work with will come and spend time with you, sit in a chair or go for a walk or however you do your coaching, and will say, I think, or I am, or I want, or I am unwell, and I want to be well, and so on. It is extremely unlikely that you are going to initially not connect with the I-ness of that person. Now, of course, how clear people are about this sense of self is something we want to be curious about. The second part of that is a sense of belonging to community. Now, I'm using in this definition community in the widest sense of the word. So again, it's really about how people identify community, from the smallest or most intimate unit, which can be the family unit, family community, then extended family, their local community. It can be a faith-based community, it can be a life experience-based community, a work community, really an aggregation of human beings where the person we're working with has a sense of belonging or connection. Now again, this can work and hold true across a wide, almost an infinite number of permutations of community that anybody might feel that they want to identify with. Some people, for instance, will identify with a community or the idea of community in a number of different ways. They might identify with the idea of being part of the human family, you know, the whole world, everybody on the planet. It's like a very connection of the community of humanity. Some people might feel at the same time they feel very connected to a community that is around perhaps a philosophical point of view. Coaches, for instance, often identify with themselves because they occupy some very similar territory in terms of what they think and feel and what they base their life activities on. So community can be almost anything in this context, but it seems that people who have made what we're calling this recovery process have a sort of a sense of belonging to something that is identifiable as outside of themselves, and could be, and we're using the word community for it. So again, we want to be just holding, if you like, our curiosity and questions or interest in our clients about their relationship between belonging and their ideas and thoughts about community. Moving on to the next slide. So we're saying that this ongoing process develops despite or within any limitations imposed by their behaviors, dependencies, and other human conditions. Now, this is pretty crucial within the context of this recovery module, because when we look at early recovery, when we look at somebody who has developed a healthcare challenge from perhaps, let's say they become very overweight, or they've got a problem with alcohol, or they've got a problem with depression, anxiety, and so on, what we're going to see is that there are perceived limitations that have grown around them about how they can function and operate. So these limitations may be circumstantial. So it could mean that they now cannot do things that they used to be able to do or wished that they could still do, and they can't do that. Or it may be limitations that are imposed by their psychological, emotional, spiritual condition. There may be such high levels of anxiety, for instance, that some fairly standard normal functioning within a social or cultural context now cannot take place. Somebody may be so depressed that they cannot do things which others would consider fairly straightforward. So there may be behaviors that they are being impacted by, which also cause some limitations around functioning. So for instance, somebody who has epilepsy and doesn't know when those epilepsy events may occur has to live within the experience of that's a fact for them at that time. And they may be on medication to control it and so on, but that may or may not be successful. So they are living with the experience of that epilepsy, but they are not necessarily therefore excluded from, for instance, having a recovery or change process take place for them. But they are working within those limitations. Dependencies refers specifically to the idea that there may be what we would describe as a dependency upon a substance or a behavior that is current and ongoing. So the idea is, can somebody recover if they are, for instance, dependent upon some kind of substance? So can the person who is still taking alcohol start a recovery process, change process? The answer would be yes, in this definition. Can somebody who is struggling very much with their health, perhaps confronting type 2 diabetes, or is type 2 diabetic, or extremely overweight, or has PTSD, and so forth and so on, can they start this recovery process whilst they are still perhaps engaged with the substance or the behavior that is part of the phenomena that is causing their suffering? Yes, they can, in terms of this definition. So really what we're saying is the primary position that we're holding within this definition is that the potential and the capacity to start this process, this ongoing process, is present in almost all conditions. Now, is there a possibility that a person is unable for some reason to even begin a recovery process? Well, yes, that is possible insofar as there may be conditions, physical limitations and conditions, which absolutely overwhelm any kind of primary functioning. And those people who are there will need other kinds of interventions and support and treatments to see if a baseline of functionality can be re-established. So this is an important point to make, because we don't want to be fantasists and say that even somebody, you know, who is clearly incapable can at that moment of incapacity activate a recovery process. Something else may need to occur before that is going to be possible. What we are saying is that once that something that has occurred has taken place, then the ongoing process we're describing here in this definition becomes available. So that is the FRC's definition, and really what it reaches out and to do is to touch upon the very human aspects of being in a recovery process. What you will maybe have noticed is it doesn't seek to establish specific aspects that are specific to certain kinds of healthcare challenges. So we're not here saying, you know, you can only recover if you stop drinking, or you only can recover if you stop overeating, or you can only recover if you, you know, do this or that. So we're not making that prescriptive leap at all at this point. It is something that we're going to pick up again as a discussion point later on in the training process when we start looking at specialities. But at the moment, our definition isn't seeking to do that. What it's seeking to do is to ask what is emerging within the context of this person's consciousness and life and the change process that they want to go in. And what do we think might be the markers of the change process unfolding in a way that will be beneficial to them? And this is an important, and I'm going to end on this point. Beneficial to them means what? It means that there is some movement for the person that they consider to be in part possibly an alleviating of their suffering, which could be physical suffering and or mental suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering, if you like. And that there is actually an emergence of a movement towards fulfillment of the potential of their life, whatever that is. And that meaning has emerged and is alive and is a powerful force for change and movement in their lives, and that there is a release of energy in their lives that is activating them and moving them forwards and engaging them in the world. The world of their lives. So these are the kinds of parameters of the definition that we I would like you to think about and to hold in within the context of your coaching.